One thing we've learned from the world of math is that old theories never die. They just get recomputed or something like that. 20-year-old student in Birmingham, England, has a solution to a problem originally posed in the 1930s that proved it was possible to develop small intelligent machines like iPods and laptops. Our math guy, Keith Devlin, brings us the proof. He joins us now from campus of Stanford University. Keith, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Scott. Good to be here.
Now, it all started, as I gather, with a man named Alan Turing, a mathematician of some note, really one of the great heroes of World War II, and he never lifted a rifle.
Yeah, it was really quite a remarkable story. In the 1930s, this young Cambridge mathematician developed this theoretical idea of computation, and he invented things called Turing machines, which were hypothetical computing devices, studied them, discovered that it should in principle be possible to build a computer which could be programmed to carry out any computation you want it to do. Then you fast forward to the Second World War, when you needed computers in particular to break the German Enigma codes, and along comes Turing, goes to this secret research establishment in Bletchley Park in England, and helps to build the first computer, or one of the first computers, and therefore in his own lifetime he's able to see put into practice something which, as a young person, he proved purely as a mathematical, hypothetical concept.
Now, the person to get involved next in the process was Stephen Wolfram.
There was some work on this in the 60s and the 70s. Marvin Minsky, a computer scientist at MIT, showed that you could build one of these so-called universal Turing machines, one of these programmable machines, which had just four internal machine states and computed on just seven symbols. And that's pretty simple. If it's four states, seven symbols, the program to make this thing work is only 28 instructions long, as opposed to the millions of lines in Microsoft Windows and so forth. So very, very simple. The question was, could you make it even simpler? In the 1990s, along comes Stephen Wolfram, who'd already made a big name for himself as a mathematician, then made himself a smaller, maybe even a medium-sized fortune by building the very powerful mathematical software system called Mathematica. He began to look at these Turing machines, and in particular this question, what's the simplest device that's programmable to carry out any computation? And he came up with a candidate. It has just two internal states and it computes on just three symbols. He was able to gather some evidence that suggested that these machines, this very simple machine, could be programmed to carry out any computation, but he wasn't able to prove it. He wrote a book in 2002 called A New Kind of Science, in which he described this problem, challenged people to solve it. Nobody did. Earlier this year, Wolfram goes on the web and announces a $25,000 prize to the first person that can show that his little machine, two states, three symbols, could carry out any computation. That's the problem that this young English computer science student called Alex Smith proved a few weeks ago.
Why would a 20-year-old set out to make this proof?
It's something that's doable. You don't need a lot of mathematical knowledge in order to attack these things. They're about the basic aspects of computation. Mm-hmm. You can learn all of the facts you need in an afternoon. It really comes down to whether you're smart mathematically, whether you can think deeply, and whether you can think through a problem that will take 40 or 50 pages to write out the solution. We're all wondering what's going to happen to him when he graduates and goes on and creates some kind of a career.
I understand the faculty at Stanford says they anticipate a vacancy very soon.
I'll tell you what, Scott, we always keep our eye on these bright young people, and we do what we can to get them here. Stanford doesn't stay at the top of the pile by accident. We work very hard at doing that.
Keith, you're always at the top of our pile. Thank you.
I'd love to be there, Scott.
Keith Devlin is Executive Director of the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford. He joined us from their studios in Palo Alto.